Now I have the pleasure to introduce our speaker for today, who's going to bring our sermon, Miss Melissa Jensen.
Good morning. As we start into a message I've brought forward, I would like to start first with our morning prayer and just lead in with prayer, please. So please join me. Dear Lord, please guide the words of my mouth and let them be your words, Lord. Please speak through me to these people and let me share this message I have on my heart that hopefully others can feel it too, and we can share in the compassion and fellowship of our fellow disciples in Christ. In your precious name I pray. Amen. And now I'm going to have David come up and read the scripture for us.
Good morning, everyone. Our scripture today, as stated above, is 2 Peter, the third chapter. It's found on page 1896 of the Bibles you'll find in your pews. The Day of the Lord. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of heavens by fire, and the elements will melt into the earth. But in keeping his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Want to come back up?
Good morning again. As we begin, just because I'm not sure who is pointing for me? Who's doing my, yay, Joy. Okay, so the reason I say that is Joy, I have slides, but I'll just say next slide when I need it, since I would love to give joy notes, as the pastor is so diligent in doing, but I have a notebook, I have written out notes, I have typed out notes, and I have my own slide notes, so it was just a little much, so I thought I would just bleed. Man, I've got a lot of things here, and what are all these things? Well, they could be seen as problems. I spent this whole year in a bit of reflection. I started to take a deeper look into the Word. I turned 34 this past week, but last year it was 33. And when I hit 33, I thought to myself, well, this is the age we have documented for Jesus and how old he got. And I said, well, I'm as old as Jesus was when he sacrificed himself, so maybe I should make some sacrifice of myself and start to get into Scripture. I did not accomplish reading the Bible from cover to cover, however, exactly. But I did find myself researching deeper into many parts of Scripture. The deeper I looked, the more I found answers, and to so many of my long lingering problems. So why did I pick this particular scripture from 2 Peter chapter 3? Well, I feel that there is a great lesson to be found in this chapter. And I will be referencing this chapter as well as other verses I found that aided me while I was writing and formulating this message. So, first comes the title, which is up there. 99 problems, but God ain't one. Do you have any problems out there? Okay. If your answer is no, and you've never had one problem ever in your life, never one, never anything, from big extreme problems to a hangnail, okay, I want you to stand up right now. Nobody. So prepared for someone to stand up. But anyway, no, I'm glad. So my point here is, since I'm sure we have all had problems, big and small, I believe that this is a lesson that we can all relate to each other and be able to embrace each other in our Christian faith. Okay, so first point I have for you is on our second slide. It's a question. And the question is, whose approval are you seeking? Many times, there is a problem we have that becomes larger and larger. And the question is why? Where are we taking it? Where are we looking for validation of that problem? Where are we looking for a problem of that problem? Where are we looking to solve that problem? And sometimes, we don't go to where we should solve that problem. We're looking just for approval. Now, I'm not talking about when you have a problem and you go to for counsel from a fellow disciple or your minister or your fellow Christians here, and you're looking really for guidance or even sanctuary from your problems. That's not what I speak of. What I'm talking about is when you go to speak in either an angry manner, a malicious manner about your problems, just an annoyed manner, not looking for solution. And I look at this and I say, this will only create more problems. I work with the youth quite a bit, and I always say, I'll tell the youth when they come to us with a problem, I ask a question, and I say, are you coming to look for me to help you with a solution? Are you looking to just vent and tell me your problem? Or are you coming to brag and tell me what this problem is? And we hope that it's not about bragging. As we build and build these problems, and you know, a small problem can become a large problem if not brought to the right place. And it can just build, and then we have another problem on top of that and another problem on top of that. So if you can go to the next slide, I have a little illustration. That's what it can look like, and I don't think most of us are that well balanced with the problems. There's a balancing act, and we're trying to balance it all by ourselves. So can you please go to the next slide? And the next slide says, from Galatians 1:10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is where we should go with our problems, is the Lord. Now, why did I choose 2 Peter chapter 3 with the days of the Lord last coming? This is not a sermon on the end of last days. However, with that said, I feel that we never know the time and the day of the Lord's coming. So I feel we should always be prepared for that time, no matter whether it happens in our lifetime or our children or our children's children. We should be prepared. So this is good guidance in this scripture, even if it may not happen in our lifetime. It's a good way to solace ourselves down, and a good lesson in it as well. If you can go to the next slide, I have 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And it says, "Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days scoffers will come, and mockers, and mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, 'What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming? From before the time of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created.'" Peter talks of people scoffing at the faith and mocking it and following desires. Well, here's another question. What happens when we follow our own desires? What happens when we scoff the teachings of God? You know, it's not only non-believers that scoff the teachings of God. We have done it ourselves. I have done it myself. Oh, that scripture doesn't pertain to me. Oh, that makes no sense. Oh, no, I'm not in that place right now. That's not what I needed to hear. That's scoffing of God's word. We could be those people. And what happens when we scoff God's word and we go to our own desires? We create more problems. But Peter gives us answers to this dilemma. So if you'll go to the next slide, please. He speaks again, and he says, "They deliberately forgot that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out of the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood." And the next slide continues, and it says, "But you must not forget the one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people may think. No. He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent." How quickly we forget the lessons that the Lord puts in front of us. I speak always from my self experience first. And how quickly we forget that, duh. I'm sorry to say duh, but it was the only word that made sense. Duh. The Lord created the earth already. He's changed it already. He changed it. People say it existed from the beginning as it was. Well, no. The Lord was angry and had seen so much sin, and he took and created a great flood, and he destroyed that earth. And then the waters receded, and Noah's family has started a new one. And now we've been building this world, and one day this world will be caught to fire. God has a plan. But we don't know the length of God's plan. 1,000 years are like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. God is trying his hardest to give us as much time as we need to come to him, to repent, and to take all those problems, every problem that we have, and give it to him. And how gracious is this? I don't feel that I always deserve this grace. It is not something that comes natural to me to always deserve this. And I've had tons of problems. We have problems where we ignore the problem and they become bigger problems, as I spoke of. My own personal problem just happened, but it wasn't where I wrote the sermon, which I always find is God's sense of humor. I wrote this quite a while ago, but for those who don't know, I had surgery a few weeks ago for an internal issue I had to have solved, and it is, and I'm healing. But God was warning me about that a long time ago. Many years ago, he was trying to tell me, "You need to do something about this. I'm here. I'm ready to help you." And my pride, my frustration, my anger, my bitterness, and my envy of others allowed me not to solve my problem. And through that, I gained 5 more problems as the sins I just listed. Because really what are problems? Problems are things we hold on to and we don't give to God, and they become bigger, and then the new sin grabs onto that problem, and a new sin, and a new sin. And then we feel swallowed up by these sins that we call problems. But where can we go, and how big are they really? So if you'll go to the next slide, I have an illustration again. This comes from Romans 5:20, and it says, "Where sin abounded, grace abounded more." No matter how big your problems are, how big mine are, how big whoever's problems may be, you're sitting on top, chained to your sin. And right below the surface is God's grace. Our sins are minute to God in comparison to the amount of grace He is willing to bestow on us. And it's amazing and humbling to know that that is what God is willing to give to us. In the next slide, I have another verse of comfort, and this comes from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. My slide didn't come up. I had to turn around. I'm sorry. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." God will pull you out of any quicksand you're in. He'll take you off of any problem, but you have to submit to Him. And that could be for looking through counsel with other Christians, those of mind, like-minded, who are looking to help you, your friends, your family, but always going in the way of looking for the Lord's word through. And I think that the Lord's word is the word that I go to the most, and I didn't always go there. I went to people to vent, and I went to people to complain, and not to solve my problems. And the more I read the word, the more I begin to understand exactly where I need to go. I do not consider myself old, just for reference, but I do find myself getting older and starting to mature in a way where I understand that I need to lean on Him 10 times more than I'm leaning on myself, where 10 years ago I was trying to lean on myself. When I'm finding myself, what I'm really finding is the path that God set forward to me. And when I read His word, I'm trying to embrace the lessons He has put before me so that I can bring them forward into my life and hopefully shine them through so others can see and hopefully feel solace in that if they need it. I want to go to the next slide. And something says in the end of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Peter says something that really stuck with me. And it says, "You already know these things, dear friends. So be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of the wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor be both now to Him and now and forever. Amen." He speaks of Paul and Paul's letters before this, earlier in the scripture. Diving into scripture was not the easiest thing for me, but diving into scripture is what has helped me with so many issues. And this past year, I have found myself with many less problems, and at first I said, "Why? What happened?" I stopped relying on myself and relying on the words of man and went to the words of God. My last slide for the sermon is Matthew 11:28, and I leave with this for the sermon part, and I have something after, but I leave with this because I always feel that going to the words of Jesus is the most pure, since Jesus knew how to treat us best, and He always knew how to give comfort where it was needed. And so He says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Depending on the Lord for rest is needed. I have one more part to my sermon. I include it as part of my sermon. I am going to bring a song and sing a song. And the reason is, I feel some people learn very well through the teachings of straight word in scripture, and I feel some people learn from music. The song is a secular song, but it is faith-based. It's a song called Mountains by a band called Lone Star. It's a country band. And I have the words up on the screen. As I sing them, they'll be there. I want to let you know that the reason for the song was very personal, and I feel that everyone can relate to this, and I hope you can. So I'm going to sing the song.
Bacon, eggs, and tears. She's waited on every creed and color, on waiting on this day to get here. Graveyard shifts, two-bit tips, making every corner count. It's worth it all to see her son in that cap and gown. And there are times in life, gotta crawl, lose your grip, trip and fall. When you can't lean on no one else, it's when you find yourself. I've been around and I noticed that walking's easy when the road is flat, and then the wheels get you every time. Yeah, the good Lord gave us mountains so you can learn how to. Yeah.
Please join me in the final word of prayer. Thank you, God, for giving us the mountains you give us. Thank you for giving us the strength to endure through you. Thank you for giving us the tools, Lord, so that we can work on our problems step by step, inch by inch, and climb. And know when we reach the top, there you are with us. You're with us every step of the way, Lord, and we hope that we can lean on you and that we can feel your grace. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Bob is going to come and lead us in the final hymn.